In Romans chapter 16, we're going to look from verse 17 again, Romans 16 and verse 17, which is our verse of the week. It says this, Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. The title of my sermon this morning is The Division Causer. The Division Causer. I'd like to pray before we get going with the message. Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you for the truths that we have in your word, Lord. The themes, and some of them are more constant than others, like this theme is something that we see regularly throughout the Bible, and something that we need to be aware of, Lord, something that needs to be preached regularly. Help everyone to just hear it with an open heart, with an open mind, Lord, and to just receive what your word is saying, Lord. Please fill me with your spirit as I preach your word today. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen. Okay, so it's a division causer. Keep a finger here and go over to Acts chapter 20. Acts chapter 20. This is a sort of maintenance sermon that I'm going to be preaching today. It's one of those subjects that I've preached less on over the years for a few reasons. When this church started, we had a lot of bad people here, okay? We had a lot of bad people. Some were subtle, some were ridiculously obvious, okay? That's just the way it was. And to be honest, my wife and I were a bit shocked at how bad it was, okay? I suppose we didn't really understand, really, I suppose, how great and effectual a door had been opened here in the UK. Because Paul did say in 1 Corinthians 16:9, for a great door and effectual is open unto me. And there are many adversaries, okay? When a great door is open, there are going to be many adversaries. And this sort of thing needed preaching a lot, okay? At the beginning, this sort of subject, these sorts of topics were preached a lot. The easiest time to destroy our church was at the beginning. And we had a battle on our hands, okay? We had a battle on our hands when this church started for a few years, to be fair. Eventually, many were kicked out, other members of their gang left, and over the past couple of years, the church has changed massively for the better. Okay, it really has. It's a different place now. And of course, look, we're going to always be battling, but there's a lot of Bible here that also needs preaching as well to make well-rounded Christians. So it's trying to get that balancing act when you're a preacher, trying to preach these, you know, the right amount of certain things, doctrines, you know, lifestyle things. But warnings and cautions like this sermon today as well. These sorts of sermons, therefore, have been less frequent, but they're still needed. Okay, and today is a reminder for some, but maybe for others it's going to be an eye opener. Okay, for others it might be an eye opener. Maybe you haven't heard sermons like this before, this sort of topic, at least very often. And in case you're sitting here and you're thinking already, adversaries, battles, bad people, I thought this was church. What's this guy talking about? Okay, don't we just come here to feel spiritual? Isn't that the idea? Don't we just come to church, feel spiritual, feel good about ourselves? No, because this is a biblical church. Okay, this is a biblical church. We're on the front lines for people's souls. Okay, and this is basically military headquarters here. Okay, in a spiritual sense, before you start thinking I came inappropriately dressed. Okay, it can get rough sometimes. It does get rough sometimes. Church life, it can get ugly. And if our adversaries can't destroy headquarters, do you know what they'll try and do? They'll at least try and pick off the soldiers. That's just the way it is. That's the way it goes. And this is a theme that is consistent, like I said in that prayer, throughout the Bible. Okay, look down at Acts 20, Acts chapter 20, where you are, where Paul said this in his farewell to the Ephesian soldiers. Acts chapter 20, verse 26 says this, wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men. For I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. So Paul didn't just focus on the fuzzy, warm feeling parts of the Bible. Okay, he didn't just stick to the non-controversial parts. He declared all the counsel of God. He declared the whole counsel of God. Verse 28 says, take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Right, so that's a pretty strong passage of the Bible, isn't it? Okay, the Apostle Paul said that they will enter in. they will arise from them too. They will be speaking perverse things. Now, that's not how we would use the word today, although that could be the case, but it's not really. He's talking here about being things that are distorted, things that are corrupted, with the goal being what? To draw disciples after them. Now, although it can be, look, perverse or distorted, corrupted things like false doctrine, it can also be lies, distorted truth, corrupted tales, etc. as well. With the goal being what? To draw away disciples after them, to eventually follow false doctrine or a false church or a false way further down the line. Okay, though these are false prophets, this is what it's warning us of here, with these particular ones being false brethren. Okay, so they claim to be one of the brethren, they claim to be saved, they claim to be like us, wolves in sheep's clothing. Something that not only Paul warned us of. So if you're thinking, well, this Paul's a bit paranoid, isn't he? I mean, what's his problem? What's going on here? And of course, look, Paul is writing what the Lord is speaking through him. Okay, so all scripture is given by inspiration of God. But regardless, it wasn't just the Apostle Paul. In Matthew 7:15, the Lord Jesus Christ warned us, beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. Peter warned us in 2 Peter 2:1, but there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. John warned us in 1 John 4:1, beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. Jude warned us in Jude verse 4, for there are certain men crept in unawares, who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul warns us in multiple epistles, with here in Acts 20 saying, therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years, I ceased not to warn everyone night and day with tears. Now, whether that was in conversation or preaching, you could only probably guess, even if he didn't mean every day, because he said by the space of 3 years, he warned everyone night and day with tears. Maybe it was some nights, some days. Maybe it was every night, maybe it was every day. Whatever it was, he clearly warned them a lot. Okay, he clearly warned them a lot. And for those that criticise this sort of preaching, okay, and often it's people that sadly would be on the receiving end of this sort of preacher. But for those that criticise it, well, at least we're in good company. Okay, so pastors that preach this sort of stuff, who should be preaching this sort of stuff, and not shun the whole counsel of God, but actually preach the whole counsel of God, should be preaching this sort of stuff, which is a constant theme in the Bible. And you know what? We're in good company, those that preach it, because as we've seen, we've got the Apostle Paul preaching it night and day with tears. Okay? And let's just see again what it was he was so upset about and reminding them of. Okay? So it said in verse 29, for I know this, that after my departing shall... Okay, he didn't say they might, he didn't say it's a maybe, he didn't say, well, only if you're real meanies. Only if you're just so paranoid, only if you're just trying to find fault. No, he said, after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. So Paul, being the apostle who planted the church, they want him out of the way to destroy the flock. Notice that? It's after he goes. After he goes, now we can destroy the flock. Verse 30, also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. So it seems from those two verses that there were two angles of attack being warned about, with the grievous wolves entering in to destroy the whole flock, and the false prophet types drawing away their own disciples after them. And if you've ever seen or read about how wolves attack, basically they pick off the sheep. Okay, they separate them from the flock. They try and look for those separated. They try and get them one by one. They take them away. They separate them from the flock. Like the second type of false prophet as well, drawing away disciples by what? Dividing them from the group and making them follow him, right? Go back to Romans 16. So what I'm saying is that dividing God's people, causing division, is clearly a fundamental part of how these people work. Yeah, this is a clear part of how these people work. Because as Matthew 12:25 says, you don't have to turn, you turn to Romans 16 again, but Matthew 12:25 says, and Jesus knew their thoughts and said unto them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and every city or house divided against itself shall not stand. Divide and conquer is an age-old tactic. It's a consistent tactic, and you see it in all different areas of life as well. And it's something, sadly, you will see in church life. And when we're talking church life, we're talking about legitimate churches. Churches that are out actually doing some work, doing things, getting people saved, making a difference, right? And they do this division causing in a number of ways, okay? So from false doctrine to sowing discord to calculated comments to manipulation, conversation angling, etc., etc. Which is why in Romans 16, 17, the Apostle Paul said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them." He said, "Mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them." He said, "Mark them and avoid them." Was he just talking to church leadership? Was he just talking to the pastors, to the hardcore maybe in Rome? Romans 1, you don't have to turn there, says that Paul was writing, verse 7 says, to all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. So here in Romans 16, 17, he said, brethren. We saw in Romans 1 that he's addressing the letter to all of them. Beloved of God, called to be saints. He's writing to everyone. He's writing to the believers, right? The letter was to the whole church of believers. So he's addressing everyone here where he said, mark and avoid. And he's not just saying mark and avoid, he's beseeching. Or we might say he's asking with urgency, he's imploring them. He's basically saying, please, please, avoid these division causes. Mark these division causes and avoid them. Why? For, verse 18, they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, why is he saying that? I'll tell you why, because it needs pointing out, because they claim to be. He's not just saying it, well, right, oh yeah, well, of course they're not, because we know they're not, because they said they don't believe. No, these people that claim to believe. These people that claim to be like us. And he's saying to them, they serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, themselves, their own flesh. And by good words and fair speeches, they deceive the hearts of the simple. They try to say all the right things. They sound spiritual, holy. They even use scripture with their speeches. They must be saved, right? But they deceive the simple. Perhaps being those that ignore these warnings and commands to mark and avoid. Ever thought about that? Who are the simple here? You've got to be a bit simple if you ignore clear warnings like this. And if you don't want to be deceived, okay, you need to know what you're looking out for. So today I want to show you a few tactics to watch for and things that you're looking out for to be able to mark and avoid. Now, just to make it clear, okay, it's not that you're to be going around suspecting everyone of this. That's what we don't want in this church, okay? Yeah, we had a rough time before, but we don't want that, okay? Everyone's suspected, everyone's suspicious. That's not how it works, okay? But the idea is that more that when it does happen, which it has, by the way, again and again and again, just in the 4.5 to 5 years since this church was planted, okay, so you're able to recognize it and are able to mark and avoid. Which, of course, when it comes to the church setting, means bringing it to me. Okay, not just like, well, I'm marking that one, I'm avoiding that one. Everyone's going around with a marker pen, putting it on people's back. No, just come to myself. And look, don't worry about how you will appear either. Okay, because I know this is a concern for people. It's like, well, if I mention this, am I a division causer? No, you're coming and you're saying, look, there's a problem here. Okay, and of course, it needs to be a legitimate problem, right? Okay, not just, well, I don't like this person, so I'd like to mark and avoid them. So the title is the division causer, and we're going to look at just two different types of division causer today. Number one is division through false doctrine. Division through false doctrine. Look at verse 17 again. It said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." So offences here isn't how we might use it nowadays, the word, okay, in terms of causing someone to be offended. It's not, oh, look, someone's offended someone, we better mark and avoid them. That's not what it's talking about here. Turn to Isaiah 8, Isaiah chapter 8, see the word used in the way that it's meant to be, at least in the way that it's intended here. Okay, it's talking about harm to some degree, such as here in Isaiah 8, where we see the result of the word in the following verse. So Isaiah 8, it shows us a word and we see the result of that word as well. Isaiah 8 verse 13, we'll look from though, says this. Isaiah 8 and verse 13 says, "Sanctify the Lord of hosts himself, and let him be your fear and let him be your dread. And he shall be for a sanctuary, but for a stone of stumbling and for a rock of offence to both the houses of Israel, for a gin and for a snare to the inhabitants of Jerusalem." So a gin, by the way, is a trap. Okay, we've got snare. We've seen a stone of stumbling, and he said a rock of offence. Now, all used interchangeably to some degree, but more specifically, look at the result of each of these things. They seem to be in order in verse 15. He said, "And many among them shall stumble." Remember, we saw first in verse 14, but for a stone of stumbling. He said, "And many among them shall stumble and fall." And I think that's from that stone of stumbling. Then he said, "And be broken." And that seemed to line up with our rock of offence. Then he said to both the house of Israel in verse 14, "For a gin and for a snare." And we see in verse 15, "And be snared." And a gin is like a trap, and you get snared in that as well, and be taken, like you might do from a snare. So basically, the Lord can be both a sanctuary for believers, but also he can also be a rock of offence to the unbelievers. And we see that a lot, don't we, when we go out and preach the gospel. We see that he can be a rock of offence in terms of something that basically seems to cause them harm because they just reject that grace through faith alone, right? And the result of this rock of offence, it seems, is being broken. Okay, so back in verse 17 of Isaiah 16, with that in mind, with that explanation in mind, where it said, "Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." These offences are harm, something that could cause you to stumble, okay, or maybe a trap, or even break you, being contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. Now, the obvious ones are what? Salvation doctrines. Okay, so the obvious stuff is salvation doctrines. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 2, 2 Peter 2. Now, of course, people might try to take you to one side to teach you blatant work salvation. Okay, that can happen. And we've even had people come in our church and be shouting about work salvation, shouting about losing your salvation, shouting about other things. And again, I'm not talking about people that are just unsaved, not sure, but people that have purposely come here knowing full well what we believe and come here to try and turn heads. So some are just blatant. That stuff's obvious. They've just been removed from the church, right? Okay, but turn to 2 Peter 2. You turn to 2 Peter 2. Often it's a lot more subtle. So often this stuff is a lot more subtle. 2 Peter 2 says, "But there were false prophets also among the people." Okay, remember it's plural as well. "Even as there shall be false teachers among you." Okay, so he's talking about in the past there were false prophets, there'll be false teachers among you, "who privily." Now, privily is privately or secretly. So it's not that they're just, well, you know, they said they believe what we, they seem to give the same gospel presentation, they must be okay. No, privily, privately, secretly shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them. And by the way, work salvation is denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. For example, well, we've all repented of our sins, haven't we, though? You know, and again, yeah, they didn't go, well, you must repent of your sins for salvation, but it's subtle stuff like that. And again, I'm not talking about just someone who's newly saved. So just to make it clear, I'm not talking about babes in Christ. I'm not talking about new believers. I'm not talking about people that are a bit unsure and confused and asking questions. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about people that claim to be seasoned soul winners, seasoned believers, so-called mature Christians coming out with stuff like that, or... Though this verse does seem to suggest that you can lose your salvation, though, doesn't it? That sort of stuff as well, something that we've dealt with here in the past as well. Now, obviously, new believers get confused, okay? And if you're a new believer, or even if you're not, yeah, if you've been here a while and you've got questions, come and ask me questions. No problem at all. You've got some questions. Well, how would you explain this verse? What's the context of this? Why does this seem? Because like I've preached many times, the Bible's written in a way that there is enough rope to hang yourself with. If you want work salvation, you can try and find work salvation and convince yourself you found it in the Bible. But once you're saved, you look at it from that lens of grace through faith, and you're building it upon the foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ, then you start to understand those more confusing passages and things like that. So no problem. Come and ask me. But I'll tell you what you shouldn't be doing. For example, this is what we had with that particular question, is loudly in front of half the church. Loudly in front of half the church with babes in Christ there and everything else. Well, this verse does actually seem to see, you know, that's not, oh, I just didn't think any, I just thought I'd ask. Come and ask. But things like that is more subtle, isn't it? That's privily. But this stuff we've had people do, okay? We've also had, by the way, people just teaching false doctrine without soul winning. Okay, teaching false doctrine. This is something that's happened in our church before that will happen again. Teaching people false doctrine privately, privily, away from the group, away from other people. For example, claiming people are saved who have clearly just stated a work salvation. And again, I'm not talking about babes in Christ. I'm talking about people that claim to believe everything we do, claim to soul win, claim to get people saved and everything else, and then just someone says, well, you can lose your salvation, you've got to keep doing this, you've got to do that, and come away and go, that person's saved. Okay, that's privily trying to bring in damnable heresies, because especially when you've got your silent partner who's fairly new to these things, thinking, what on earth? Is that what we believe here? Is that, okay, that sort of stuff. Now, it's not just about... So you can think of other salvation-type stuff where people do this. It's not just about salvation. Another thing people might try and do is promote false Bibles. Okay, and again, we've had people come into our church try and do that before. Teach against the King James Bible. Try and teach that there's errors in the King James Bible. There's this, there's that. Now, look, again, if you've got a question about that, you go, well, I can't quite work this out. Bring it to me. If I can't answer it, I'll go away and I'll look at it because I want to, you know, they're all things that will inspire me to study this or look at that. No problem at all. But going up to random people, that sort of thing, not good. Okay, that's not just, oh, well, I just wanted to know, so I just went to the new believer and started telling them about errors in the King James Bible, for example. Verse 2 said, and many shall follow their pernicious ways. What's pernicious? Destructive. Okay, he said, many will follow those destructive ways. Many will follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. So, look, this isn't just, oh, well, who cares? Yeah, it doesn't matter. We're all saved. No problem. No, people will follow that stuff. People get confused. People follow it. Obviously, unsaved people. And look, you'll get, do you know the reality of it is? In a church like this, you know, there'll be people that we think maybe, yeah, I think they're saved. And maybe they're not. Maybe they're still kind of a bit unsure, but they're kind of just about there. They're just about ready to like go, yeah, no, I believe that. I do believe that. I'm putting my trust in Christ. And they're a target for false prophets, aren't they? Okay, so there's varying, you know, you get different levels of people. There are people that are maybe just a bit weak in the faith, can easily get pulled into false doctrine as well. Okay, so many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And one way you could apply that verse is that the way of truth is the word of God. And people start speaking evil about the word of God, don't they? In one way or another as well. And one way they do that is, for example, promoting the heretical teachings of John Calvin. Okay, promoting Calvinism in a church where clearly we preach against Calvinism. Okay, that is a wicked false doctrine. Coming in here promoting that stuff is something that false prophets do. Okay? Again, you come here, you're new to the faith or something, and you came from a Calvinist background, or you've got questions about that, no problem, come and ask. But you go around trying to teach people privately about Calvinism and promote Calvinism, that's a false prophet. Okay, all day long. My Bible says, by the way, in 1 Timothy 4:10, for therefore we both labour and suffer reproach, because we trust in the living God who is the saviour of all men. All men. Especially of those that believe. No, we don't buy into that 5 points of heresy Calvinism, okay? Another one that we did have, which is kind of amusing, promoting Islam, okay? Coming into our church and trying to promote Islam, okay? Bizarre, absolutely bizarre, okay? But, I don't know, maybe hoping that someone might go, well, maybe it is just the same God and we just believe the same things. It's just so similar, right? Okay, that's one. But another one as well, promoting online heretics. Okay, so they might not come out with it themselves, but instead, oh, you should definitely listen to that person. You should definitely go and hear that person. You should definitely go and listen to that sort of person, but it's just a blatant heretic. Okay, why are you promoting online people to people in our church? If I want people in our church to listen, to go and look for people online, I'm going to tell them to do so, aren't I? Because ultimately you're getting them to be taught something. Are you checking what's being taught by that person? But also, again, look, and just on that, by the way, no, we don't go, you're banned from listening. You want to listen to stuff, you can listen to stuff. But don't go around trying to promote it to people, right? Here's another one, okay? Promoting opposite doctrine to what we teach. Now, it might not be from a heretic. It might be from someone who's a well-meaning man of God, but going around trying to teach and preach and promote the complete opposite to what we teach here on certain things, again, that's not accidental stuff. That's, oh, I just thought I really need to pull people to one side, message them privately and get them to believe the complete opposite to what you teach from the pulpit. Hey, you've got a problem with that? Come and talk to me. Right, come and talk. And again, I'm not going to bite your head off. You don't believe something, you feel like you need to discuss it. You're not going to agree with everything I preach here. Of course not. And I ain't got a problem with that. You don't have to agree with everything. But you know what? I try and prove everything from the Bible. And if you've got something that you're like, this is a sticking point for me, I really need to talk about it, then come and talk to me. Don't go and instead try and turn people to the side instead, right? And look, with that, if you're thinking, look, this is all sounds a bit, you know, this isn't like any churches I've been to in the past. Look, I've been to churches where it's a free... Anyone been to a church where it's a free-for-all? Yeah, we've had a few that have been to church, but it's a free-for-all. And they're an absolute mess. They're a circus, okay? Basically, often you have to run this gauntlet of false prophets just to get to your seat. You walk in the church and there's one false prophet trying to pull you to one side, another one trying to pull you to one side, another one trying to find out who you listen to, what you believe, I just want to sit down and worship God and listen to some preaching. And they are an absolute mess, and they're just full of people like this. And these are ones that at least, you know, you might think are legitimate churches, okay? But like I said, okay, this isn't just in church. It can be out soul winning. It can be through WhatsApp, etc. as well. So something we have to be aware of in this day and age. We live in a different time, don't we? It's not just, oh, well, just watch out for those people at the church. It could be all out in the soul winning. WhatsApp and all different electronic communication, obviously. But sadly, even at social events and even private social events. And again, look, great. Have friends, meet up. But you just got to again, you don't have to suspect everyone. But when it comes up, it should, if you're listening, you're reading your Bible regularly, you know about this topic, then it should prick you if you do experience this. 2 Peter 2:12 says, but these as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed speak evil of the things that they understand not and shall utterly perish in their own corruption. And shall receive the reward of unrighteousness as they that count it pleasure to riot in the daytime. Spotsayer. So they enjoy doing it basically in open sight. Spotsayer and blemishes, sporting themselves with their own deceivings while they feast with you. So basically they get fun, enjoyment, pleasure out of the fact that they're deceiving you whilst claiming to be your friend. How wicked is that? Having eyes full of adultery and that cannot cease from sin. Beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practices, cursed children. Okay, so these are not good people, okay? Just make no mistake about it. This isn't someone, I just happened to go into church and try and pull people to one side and cause a bit of division and teach the false doctrine. This isn't accidental stuff. These are people that the Bible calls false brethren, false prophets, workers of iniquity, sons of Belial, sons of the devil. They're all different names for them. Reprobates, okay? Again, if you're sitting there going, this all sounds a bit rough, welcome to the front lines, right? But you know what this does tell me? Because we experience it time and time again that we're doing something right. Okay, because we're warned about it in the Word of God. If we didn't have any of this, if we never dealt with any of this, well, sounds like our church isn't really doing anything then. It's all just a dud, it's a fake. But we deal with this and you know what? Do you know what we need? We need people to get pricked by sounds like this and be like, we're in a battle. And we need to be ready to be in this battle. I need to prepare myself. I need to be in the Word of God. I want to be part of this battle because this battle's hot, right? People will come in, come amongst us, come around us and try and destroy us and destroy the work that we're doing here because we're doing a great work here, okay? And that's everyone here. We've got a church which is ram-packed full of soul winners who go out regularly, go out multiple times a week often to go and preach the gospel and get people saved. And with that, there's going to be a battle. So with all of that in mind, if people are teaching you doctrine, any doctrine, and obviously, look, damnable heresies, but just if they're teaching you doctrine contrary to what's taught here behind the pulpit, then there's a big problem. Yeah? Agreed? If you're being taught something that's contrary to what's being taught behind the pulpit, there's a big problem. If you believe something contrary to what's taught behind the pulpit, no problem. You go away and you're like, well, I don't necessarily agree with that. No problem. And obviously, if it's something that's salvation related to something else, then maybe you need to come and talk to me about that, right? But that's no problem. However, if you're going around teaching that to people, you got problems, big problems, because the Bible's constantly describing this sort of person. Verse 17 said, now I beseech you, brethren, back in Romans 16. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So the title is a division causer, and number one there was division through false doctrine. Okay, number one was division through false doctrine. But number two is division through sowing discord. Division through sowing discord. He said in verse 17, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned and avoid them. Now, whether or not the causing divisions is separate to causing offences here, or it's all one, there are those that cause divisions, but without the obvious false doctrine, at least at the beginning. Although you could say that the division is contrary to many doctrines anyway. Okay, so for example, doctrines or teachings about lying, about tale-bearing, about sowing discord, etc. So it is still contrary to the doctrine which you have learned. Okay, keep a finger here and go over to Proverbs 6. Go over to Proverbs 6, which shows us what sort of people spend their days doing this. Okay, this is what we're talking about here. People who spend their days doing this sort of thing. Verse 12 in Proverbs 6, so Proverbs chapter 6. And as we saw, as we went through the series on the book of Proverbs, this sort of topic was just coming up time and time again, especially in the earlier chapters. Okay, just verse after verse about wicked people, about ways to spot them, because this is such a constant in the Christian life. And when I say the Christian life, I'm not saying because you're saved. I'm saying because you're saved and trying to serve God. Okay, because we're in a battle, because we're in a war. Okay, verse 12 says this in Proverbs 6, a naughty, and a naughty here isn't talking about like a naughty child, someone that's a little bit, you know, done something a little bit, you know, cheeky or something. It's talking about a bad person. Okay, these are bad people. A naughty person, a wicked man. Okay, and often when it's talking about wicked men, it's talking about the worst types, like I've just explained earlier, walketh with a froward mouth. Okay, now froward here is unyielding, disobedient. Okay, they can't really yield. Now, sometimes they pretend to, but they can't really, okay? And sometimes you look back with hindsight people and you see it, right? But sometimes they con you with this, okay? So they walk with a froward mouth. He winketh with his eyes. He speaketh with his feet. He teacheth with his fingers. Now, winking here, it's talking about shutting his eyes to wickedness. Winking is shutting the eyelids, okay? It's not talking about someone walking around giving it a wink, yeah? Wink, wink, and the gun, you know? Okay, this is someone who's just shutting their eyes. And what it's talking about is he's shutting his eyes to things, okay, to bad things, to bad stuff. Okay, however, he then speaketh with his feet, he teaches with his fingers. So he teaches by his actions. Basically, he's a bad influence to others around him. Okay, and this is a tactic of these people as well. So they shut their eyes to a load of wickedness going on, and then at the same time, they're teaching wickedness themselves. And they shut their eyes to their own wickedness, and they teach it by their actions, and sometimes subtle. Verse 14 says, frowardness is in his heart. And we saw again, remember, frowardness was unyieldingness, disobedience. Okay, frowardness is in his heart, and that's ultimately to God, by the way. He deviseth mischief continually. He soweth discord. So it's a continual thing, okay? Mischief is harm, hurt, injury, damage. He can't stop devising it, okay? And he sows discord, which is disagreement among persons, such as variance, opposition, contention, strife, any disagreement which produces angry passions, contest, disputes, litigation, or war. So there are people out there who just can't stop trying to sow discord. Okay, they just can't stop. It's just constant for them. They're always looking for ways to sow discord, to cause division. Therefore, verse 15, shall his calamity come suddenly? Suddenly shall he be broken without remedy. He then said, these six things does the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. So he said that they'll get destroyed in the end, and then he goes on to say that God hates them. They're an abomination. When we say six things, it goes on to actually be them, these people. God hates them. This isn't talking about a saved person. This isn't a believer. This is someone claiming to be, who's sowing discord, who's there to cause division. Okay, God hates these types of people. And again, because they're reprobate, they're people that don't have a conscience. They have a seared conscience. These are the basically the scum of the earth, literally. We're seen as the scum of the earth, okay, the offscouring of the world. But these are people that literally are in God's eyes, okay? Said in verse 17, or verse 16, he said there's six things. Then verse 17, he said, a proud look, okay, these are the six things that the Lord hates, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. He said, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the pride is the only way that these types of people can function. Because when you think of a proud look, aren't these like people that God hates? And as you look at this, as you go through kind of, you know, descriptions of these people, ultimately they're psychopaths. Okay, and another word that the world uses a lot of the time is narcissists. And not like, you know, you're a narcissist like probably, you know, most people call other people nowadays that they don't like, right? And their exes and things like that. This is a true narcissist, okay? How do they therefore then have a proud look? Well, like I just said, the pride is how they're able to function, how they're able to come in amongst us and pretend to be like us, because basically they convince themselves they're holy. Okay, these people convince themselves that they're good people. They convince themselves they're holy, even though they are the description of psychopaths. Okay, keep something here and go to Matthew 7, Matthew chapter 7. Now, this is the hard part to get your head around. Okay, and this is something that's you know, when, especially I remember the early days of dealing with this stuff, you're just like, this is messed up, okay? There are people this wicked that have somehow convinced themselves that they're good people doing God's will. So they actually think they're in God's will and they're doing God's will and they're good people. Now, in Matthew 7, Jesus gives us a bit more info about them, okay? Matthew 7, verse 15. Matthew 7, 15 says this: beware of false prophets which come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravening wolves. So they don't come in wolves' clothing, they come in sheep's clothing. Okay, so they come to look like us, to act like us, to try and behave like us, but inwardly, not outwardly, inwardly they're ravening wolves. Again, if you're new to this sort of preaching, this is a weird thing to get your head around, okay? But we're in a battle, like I said. You shall know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes of thorns or figs of thistles? Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. So fruits basically being what they bring forth. And the first application, I believe, ultimately is what comes from their mouths. So reason being, you don't have to go there, but the parallel passage in Luke 6:45 says, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Okay, and of course we see, you know, that Proverbs 11:30, that the fruit of the righteous is a tree of life, and he that winneth souls is wise. And that tree of life being ultimately that you're able to get people saved, aren't you, if you're saved, right? It goes from faith to faith. So there is that, and like I said, some believe that this is just solely talking about people getting saved, okay? That they're just unable to get people saved, okay? But then others believe that it's everything that you bring forth, that you can see the fruits of someone, what they bring forth, okay, over time as well. But I was thinking about the salvation part of this, and I was thinking about this. And like I said, sadly, we've had various types of false prophet division causes at our church over the years, like any other church which is legitimately going out and getting people saved, okay? Like we've seen, it's a theme in the Bible. I'm only hitting some of the verses. There's passage after passage, verse after verse, teaching after teaching about this sort of subject, okay? Now, we've had them over the years, okay? Some of them claiming to soul win for years. So some of these people have claimed to soul win for years, some with video game numbers. And when I talk about video game numbers, that now and again you get like just a great day where maybe you get a load of people saved together. But I'm talking about people that claim to have got a load of individual or pair salvations on the street that no one else got anyone saved on. You know, just like bizarre stuff like that, claiming they've got all these salvations, claiming to have been soul winning for years. What an expert, what a soul winning like guru these people are. But has anyone in our church met one person that any of these division causes actually got saved? I mean, we've been soul winning in Southend for years. Anyone met anyone? Anyone? Anyone that said, I got saved by that person? Oh, yeah, it was someone from your church, and when you've asked them, they've given it. Anyone? Not one hand. And we've got quite a busy church this morning. So out of 60-odd plus people in here, not one person. All the years of people soul winning in Tilbury. We've got people going out in Tilbury every single Thursday. And do you know what they come across all the time? People that they've got saved over the years. Agreed? Yep. People in Southend. We've been soul winning in Southend as a church now since this church was planted nearly 5 years ago. And there are people that have, there are people that have even claimed to soul win here for much longer before that, right? In this sort of area, Tilbury and other areas. No one's ever found anyone that they've got saved. Do you know what I have found? I've found people that have got unsaved. When I say unsaved, I'm kind of joking, but I mean people that aren't saved, that have had the gospel preached and been given a Bible, prayed with one of our past division causes in our church, who weren't saved. Now, don't get me wrong, that happens sometimes, doesn't it? Okay, so now and again, we'll get duds. But do you know what we do have in our church? We even have people here today who got saved by someone in our church. We've had people come regularly that have got saved by people in our church. People have got baptized that have got saved by people in our church. We see them regularly out when we're soul winning, and you ask them questions. They're like, oh, who preached you the gospel? It's someone in our church. But weirdly, never anyone out of these people. Never. Not once. Amen. Riddle me that. Well, verse 18 said, a good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit. Neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them. But here's another fruit that comes from these types of people as well. People spreading daily gossip, lies, mockery, scorning. Definitely not good fruit either, is it? And I'm talking about like regular stuff with this, right? But in this context, he then says in verse 21, okay, that he then said this in verse 21, because we're looking at the pride of these people, okay, because it's so bizarre. You can't get your head around it. Verse 21 says, not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is heaven. Now, if you cross-reference this with John 6:40, you know, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I'll raise him up at the last day. The will of the Father is to get saved. Okay, he's not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Okay, so God wants us to put our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, to repentance being that, change that, turning from what you used to believe, faith in Christ, trust in Christ, okay? Okay, so not people, so loads of people call Jesus Lord, but they never did the will of the Father, which was got saved, okay? Many will say to me in that day, and again, this is, the context is false prophets, so, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name have done many wonderful works. Now, the pride is oozing there already, isn't it? So look at what I preach. Look at the miracles I've done. Look at all the works I've done. And then will I profess unto them, this is the Lord Jesus Christ speaking, I never knew you. He didn't used to know them. He never knew them. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity. A worker of iniquity is another name for a false prophet. Yet they're calling him Lord, and they're telling him of their works. It's a pride. This is how these people are even able to operate, being what they ultimately are, just pure scum. And when you, if you've ever come across or seen these people behave, they're like absolute scum. Okay, and that's one of the hard parts. Not just this job, just being, you know, especially if you're serving God, it's like you're all going to deal with this sort of thing. You've got like some of the best people in the world. And then you've got some of the worst people in the world pretending to be the opposite. And then you've got somewhere people in the middle who you're trying to help and trying to, you know, and you might see some red flags, but you're thinking, okay, but hopefully we can help them to become, you know, what God wants them to be. And it's a tightrope a lot of the time. And just trying to, and sometimes you've got to deal with some bad people, right? But these bad people are so full of pride, they're convincing themselves that look at all my works. Look at everything I've done. Look at, you know, God, I'm serving you. But he never knew them. He's calling them workers of iniquity. But that's why they're able to function and able to do this. And back in Proverbs 6, it said in verse 17 about these people, he said, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. Now, the lying tongue, okay, comes in various ways. Sometimes it's subtle. Sometimes it's outright lies, okay? And they'll just combine it and there'll be a mixture of some truth, some lies, you know, changing of truths, etc. 1 Timothy 4:2 says these types of people speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. And to be able to some of the hypocritical lies that you see of these types of people, you know, when you've dealt with them for years, you're just like, what on earth? How do you even come out with that sort of stuff? It's called projection is another word we use, don't we? Again, sometimes it's amazing. Okay, absolutely amazing. The innocent blood here, he talked about shedding innocent blood. And in our spiritual battle today is a way, I believe, that they're just so desperate to hurt or hinder soul winners. Desperate to destroy soul winning. Desperate to destroy. You know, when we had it before, you know, you'll have it like building up to a missions trip, for example. Just desperate to destroy it. Desperate to try and prevent it. Desperate to just stop people getting saved. Like the anger at even salvations. And stuff, you know, when you look back, you're like, wow. Okay. He said, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. So this is sort of non-stop evil surmisings, constant manipulation. They're desperate to cause trouble any which way they can. Okay. This is just, it's just a constant theme, right? A false witness that speaketh lies. And he that soweth discord among brethren. Now, the false witness claiming things were said or done that weren't, you know, happy to lie through their teeth to all and sundry. I'm not talking about opinions or things. I'm just talking about just full on just lies. Yeah. Lying through their teeth. with the seventh thing, the sowing discord being what these people's goal is. Okay, so that's why I think you said six and then seven. Okay, we're not talking about, and just to make it clear, we're not talking about someone having a row, because some people will use this and go, look, they're sowing discord because, you know, they said something mean about someone, or they fell out with someone at church. This isn't what it's talking about. This is people where it's constant tales and stories about people to push buttons and get reactions, obsessively trying to cause strife. Comments here, half-truths there, stalking, guile, manipulated facts. These are the types of people it's talking about. And once you see these people doing exactly how God describes it in his word, it does become pretty clear. Okay, but you've got to know what the word says about this. Jude verse 13, you don't have to turn there, calls them raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame, wandering stars to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever. So again, it's reserved for them. That's basically the lake of fire, being cast into outer darkness. It's waiting for them. They're raging waves of the sea, foaming out their own shame. Now, eventually the rage, the obsession, the shame that they foam out is just clear to all. And some it's quick. Some it takes a while, okay? And 2 Timothy 3:9 says, but they shall proceed no further, for their folly shall be manifest unto all men, as theirs also was. So the folly is manifest to everyone. Okay, so it's not like, I just can't work it out. Look, God just makes it clear. Okay, God makes it clear with people. And you know, and that's why they just don't last long in a proper church. They don't last long, these types of people, okay? Because they either, like, the mask comes off, they get caught out, people start to see through it, or they just have to leave before that happens. Verse 17 said, now I beseech you, brethren, back in Romans 16, he said, now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. So firstly, okay, you could say that they serve a purpose in one way, in purging churches of the simple. Okay, people that just don't want to pay attention, don't want to do what the Word of God tells them to do, don't want to follow the Word of God. You know, ultimately, they're not going to last in the long run. So these people do serve a purpose. Okay, however, is it really the simple that maybe he's talking here, don't mark and avoid them? Because these people, there is a cumulative effect of this sort of thing. So you've ever looked at this sort of stuff, like often like they have like I've heard it described before by Pastor Thompson, our previous pastor, as like a mantra. So they get something and then they just keep repeating it. And the more you hear it, the more you start to think, well, there must be something in it. There must be something in that. Or this is how these division causes often do this stuff. So here, look, have a look at it. He said, I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. For they that are such serve not our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by good words and fair speeches deceive the hearts of the simple. For your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Okay, so he's saying, however, you're obedient, right? I'm glad, therefore, on your behalf, okay, I'm glad about that, for you, for your own good, it's not for him, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good, and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. So he's saying to be wise about the good things. And this is the good stuff. Be wise about this. Read this. Know what the Word of God says about this sort of thing. And then maybe ignorant of the evil. Okay? You shouldn't really be... basically, they should be marked and avoided, I think is what he's saying. Like, it should just be simple concerning this stuff. It should be marked and avoided. And with people in the church, okay, obviously you need to come and see me about that first, like I said, okay? But once someone is marked and avoided, nowadays it's more than just kicking out, isn't it? Okay, so for example, 1 Corinthians 5:13 says, but them that are without God judgeth, therefore put away from among yourselves that wicked person. So we are told there are people to kick out. Okay, obviously this is one of them being marked and avoided. You can't avoid them if they're still in the church, so there is that. But nowadays that includes phones, includes social media, etc., doesn't it? And I'm saying that because in 2025, so much of this thing is done away from church, isn't it? And like I said, look, just because someone's been kicked out or someone's left doesn't mean that they don't stop causing division. Because, look, obviously, look, okay, and just to make this clear, social media channels dedicated to causing division should be a no-brainer. Okay, that's just obvious. You know, I just can't work out if that person's the division causer. Should I mark into... They've got a social media channel just dedicated to causing division in churches. And this has been going on for years, obviously, since YouTube and other type of similar sort of platforms, okay, this is constant. That is a no-brainer. Someone who's a three to thriver of your sermons, who hates you, okay, who watches three sermons a week and your announcements, okay, I just can't work out what sort of person that is. I mean, that's just obvious. And I'm not just talking about myself. Like, that's been clear for me for years, right? When you see these, like, clip of sermon back in whatever, back 5 years ago, 4 years, it's like, what on earth? And it's one of two things there. Either number one, they were sitting there when, and a lot of these people are ex-church members of different churches and things like, in this, and we're talking about in our circles, this sort of thing. Either they've been sitting there making notes, because like that's a lot of sermons, okay, so to try and pinpoint it. So either they've been sitting there making notes the whole time on things that they want to use in the future or could try and use against people, you know. He said this then. And look, clips, as you know, if you've ever looked at our channel, I'm not a big fan of sermon clips because you just lose the context. You don't see the caveats. You don't get the... I just prefer watching a sermon, you know. So I know like it can reach people that don't have attention spans, yeah. But the problem is, I've never been a big fan of them just because it just doesn't show the whole sermon, right? But regardless, okay. So either they've been sitting there doing that, or the alternative is they've been sitting there spending hours going through different old sermons trying to find things. Either way, they're nutters. All these different channels out there with these types of people, they've got screwed. They're completely deranged. Like, this is beyond, like, stalking. This is beyond... Like, oh, well, someone mentioned this. I'm going to have a look at this. This is people who spend hours and hours and hours making things. Like, the Bible's clear about these people, okay? Pretty clear about these people. Grasping at, like, three-year-old straws and 40, like, just, like, what on earth, right? Okay, that's pretty obvious. That should be clear. However, the less obvious people obviously do this stuff more subtly. Okay, so what we like, that stuff should be obvious. That's just a mark and avoid. You know, that's ridiculous. But there are less obvious people. Okay, there are people where it's a bit more subtle, and that's why we're constantly being warned in the book of Proverbs for that. The obvious ones, no brainer, pretty simple. You know, their follies manifest unto all. That's clear. They can't really escape that. Whatever, you know, however, whatever they come out with, whatever, like, it's pretty obvious what they are, right? But there are people that are more subtle, and that's why we need to just be aware of it, not to do a witch hunt. Okay, not to just think everyone must be bad, but just to have it in your mind for when you do have to deal with this sort of thing. Because Psalm 101, verse 4, David said, "A froward heart shall depart from me. I will not know a wicked person." So how's he saying that? Because he's saying, look, once I know, once it's clear, I'm not going to be around them. I'm not going to look at them. I'm not going to hear them. I'm not going to talk to them. I'm not going to have anything to do with them. Okay. And that's ultimately what Paul commands in 1 Corinthians 5. It's what we've just seen Paul command in Romans 16. It's pretty clear, isn't it? So what do people do? Sounds like a cult, saying to cut people off. Well, then God created a cult. I mean, God told us to do this. God, we're just trying to follow the Bible, right? Paul said, "I beseech you." He said, "Please, I'm beseeching you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offences, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them." Why? Because a house divided against itself shall not stand. That's why. And that's what they seek. That's what their goal is. Okay. So two different types of division cause. Ultimately, they're the same types of people. They just have different, you know, different modes of working, different things. And just to say again on this, this isn't talking about someone that think something differently. You say, oh, well, I once said this. I once asked a question about this to someone who I thought might know. That's not what it's talking about. Okay, if you're not a division cause, you've got no problem. Now, I've had people, and just to make it clear, okay, because some people go, oh, I don't know if I should say this. I've had people come to me about all sorts of things over the years. And do you know what? Some of it I've just been like, that's nothing, or don't worry, or something I've just kind of wondered and then observed, no, it's not a problem. And then other things I have acted on. And, you know, I can't do that unless people tell me, but again, something important, right? They don't be like, right, I've got like a queue outside the office after the service, you know. So, you know, someone, they said something a bit mean to someone once. So that's not what it's talking about, okay? But hopefully I've made that clear from this sermon, you know, just to get that right. And like I said, the reason being because the devil wants to destroy this work that we're doing, okay?
We as a church are doing a great work here. Let's keep it up. Let's be wise about this sort of thing. Be strong about this sort of thing as well. And to just do what Paul tells us to do here, right, when it's clear. On that, we're going to finish in a word of prayer.
Father, thank you, Lord, for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the clear teach you give us about this, Lord, and just how clear you make it, how, you know, when we see people foaming out their own shame in these various ways, Lord, just help us to see that clearly. Help us to you know, be strong about marking and avoiding people, Lord, because it can be a temptation. It can be, you know, you want to, you know, keep old friends or see people that you maybe felt like you got on with for a time. But ultimately, if they're what the Bible describes here, these aren't any of our friends. And they're people that are seeking our hurt, seeking our damage. Not just me, Lord. Other men in the church have dealt with this as well. Other women in the church have. It's just sadly something we have to deal with. As people, you know, on the front line serving you, getting people saved, Lord, help us to be strong about this. Help us, protect us as a church, Lord. Protect us, you know, as we go out as well this afternoon and trying to get people saved, Lord. Help everyone here to you know, be inspired to just want to work harder, to want to do more, knowing that we're in a battle, and that, you know, the only way to respond to that is to fight harder, to fight stronger, to get out and get more people safe, Lord, and to stick it to the enemy that way. Lord, please bless the guys as they get baptized after the service, Lord. Help them to you know, just you know, go on to have a not just a week, but a life of serving you, Lord, and keeping you at the center of it, Lord, and knowing that they've, you know, they've done your will in their lives to start by getting baptized after salvation. Help us to just, you know, keep encouraging people to get baptized here in this church, Lord. Help us to get back safe and sound for the evening service. In Jesus' name, pray all of this. Amen.